This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. Today, Trinity Seely, one of Western music's rising stars, will join us in the first half of today's show, and then we'll visit with Mark Bolander to talk about the sport of mountain trail competition. The Campfire Cafe is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So grab a cup of coffee and join us, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Trinity Seely. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world, online at equestrianlegacy.net.
About a good riding favorite pony, and that makes my world go round. I don't care about what some folks talk about. No, my world is smaller than all that. I live a simple life, work hard and wear a cowboy hat.
Cowboy hat, and Trinity is a cowgirl, a ranch wife, a mother, and a very talented singer and songwriter. And the cowboy hat is nominated for Song of the Year with the Western Music Association, and Trinity's also been nominated for the Crescendo Award. So, Trinity, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gary, very much.
Well,
glad to be here.
Glad to have you, and I mentioned earlier to you that Junie Fisher said that I needed to have more real ranch women and cowgirls on this show, so we're excited.
Well, coming from Junie, that's the truth.
Well, she's a horsewoman and a talented lady herself. Where are you today?
I am in Amarillo, Texas, at the World Championship Ranch Rodeo here at the Civic Center in. I'll tell you what, this is quite the deal. They've got everything from trade shows to ranch expos and cowboy music and poetry going on, and it's a great cause, just a great event.
Well, I would love to be down there, and we've got a lot of great friends out in Amarillo. So, and we're getting a little bit of the conversation back there in the arena. So for our listeners, you'll know what that is. She actually is in the arena today. So, hey, you know, we've got a lot of folks listening all across the country, and then over 50 countries. And we'd like for you to tell folks a little bit about yourself, and we really want to talk quite a bit at some point during the show about what it is to be a real ranch wife and rancher, but kind of give us a little background on Trinity Seely.
It sounds good. I grew up in northern British Columbia, Canada, in a little area called the Chilcotin. It's about 600 miles northwest of Vancouver there. And we were isolated. My dad always wanted to raise his family in the wilderness, and my mom said, well, that's great as long as you promise they'll be raised with horses. So from the time us kids were little, I've got three sisters and a younger brother. We grew up on the back of a horse, so it all started with those horses.
Oh, that's great. Well, I like your mom and dad already. I already like your philosophy, so that's great.
They are just wonderful, adventurous people. But because we were so isolated, the little school that they had up there only went up to 10th grade. And so from then on out, you either had to bus into town and live there all week or homeschool. And so I applied for a boarding school in Ojai, California called the Thatcher School, which is also a horse school, and was accepted and spent my junior and senior year there. And right now, Richard Winters, he has a lot to do with the horse department down there, and they bring in all sorts of wonderful clinicians. Buck Brannaman used to come down and do clinics, and very big on their horsemanship deal there with their horse program.
Well, some of the best guys in the business right there.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
And you know, just a great way to get a good foundation. You know, I already was in love with the whole horse life and whatnot. I was kind of turned on to the California vaquero traditions down there. And I, you know, I love the pride they took in their stockmanship and their level of horsemanship. That just is something that's always intrigued me. From there, though, I moved to Utah, which is where I met my husband. We trained horses for quite a while before getting into the ranching industry. He's a fifth-generation rancher from central Utah there, so kind of runs in the family.
Right.
But he's, you know, he went to school to be a pilot. And so I think people might think we're just a tad bit crazy, because a pilot sure makes a heck of a lot more than a cowboy. But we're doing what we love, and you know, we get to do it together, and that's a pretty neat opportunity. So.
Well, it is, and I know when I tried to get in touch with you, I think, you know, it took us a few days because you were out working cattle or something.
That's right. That's right. In fact, I'm pretty much in trouble today. I'm supposed to be home helping my husband crate check a bunch of cows and feed cowboy crews, and here I am. So it's a daily event there on the ranch.
Well, for our folks that are listening across the country, we've got a lot of folks that are back in the eastern part of the United States, and of course our European audience really loves to talk about cowboys and the cowboy life. And it's different when you're raising horses or raising cattle in the east versus in the west. What's it really like? What's a day in the life of Trinity like on the ranch?
Oh, gosh, for sure. You know, we just moved from central Wyoming. We were running a 1,000-head cow-calf operation up there at the time, and now we're in the sand hills of Nebraska, which is quite a bit different operation. We practice a holistic grazing approach there, so there's a lot of rotation in pastures and moving cows and and doctoring, and so that's, you know, you get up, saddle your horse, and move your herd, doctor what needs to be doctored, and, you know, it's a never-ending chore just making sure that animals are healthy and they got water and, you know, everybody's where they're supposed to be. So, but that's
right,
just
right.
The ranting end. On top of that, I've got a 14, 9, 4, and 2-year-old kids. And so, you know, it's a juggling act making sure everybody's helping out.
I was going to ask a little bit later in the show how you balance all of that between ranching and being a mother and your career. But before we talk about that, we want to try to get as much of your music as we can in during this first segment of the show today. And this is a song called The Old Polly Rope. It's from the CD Old Polly Rope. And is there a story about this song?
There sure is. In fact, that song was nominated in the top 5 with the Western Writers of America this past year for Best Western Song. And they really liked the authenticity of it. And it's a true story about a young couple up in the Sheridan, Wyoming area. And, you know, I think one thing that kind of gets lost maybe in this new genre of country music is the authenticity of the story and the life. And so, you know, as cowboys and cowgirls, things don't always have a happy ending or are easy to come by. So that's kind of what this song talks about is the realistic approach to a love story in the cowboy world. So an old Polly Rope.
All right, well, let's listen to Old Polly Rope. We're talking with Trinity Seeley, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy.
He was looking fine in a Stetson hat when he showed up ready to ride. She was sitting there on the old front steps with love-struck stars in her eyes. He'd been hired on to ride the summer range, footloose and fancy free. Little did he know that an old wild would find him a spark of her dream. She was young and wild, just like the horses they rode, a hard-working lady, made of blue jeans, swinging an old Polly Rope. She had the face of an angel and the heart of a saint. His cowboy days and gypsy ways couldn't frighten that poor girl away. The days grew colder, the nights grew dim. They both knew it was a matter of time before he'd ride off on another job, running some old winter line. But they proved that summer what love and youth could do. And he always told her, if I wasn't some old buckaroo, girl, I'd marry you. Looking tired in a worn-out hat when he showed up ready to ride. She was sitting there on the old front steps, tears pouring out of her eyes. She begged him to stay, saying, please don't go, never love another again. Said, I wish I could, darling, you know, just the way that it is. You're young and wild, just like the horses we rode. A hard-working lady, faded blue jeans, swinging an old Polly Rose. He knew that she deserved so much more. Life on the trail, chasing this cowboy lord, the girl she needed more.
That's the old Polly Rope from the CD by the same title. And, you know, as I'm listening to that song, Trinity, it reminds me of another one that's on that CD. I think that's called The Kitchen Window.
Kitchen Window Cowboy, that's right.
Kitchen Window Cowboy. We're not going to play that song today because, you know, one of the fun things about my job is I get to talk to great folks like you, but I listen to a lot of really good music, and then you have to go through and decide what to use. But I got the impression that you'd rather be out doing something on the ranch than doing some of that housework.
You betcha. I don't think I'm alone in feeling that way, but that's the truth. You know, when you raise kids, that is a sacrifice you make, and definitely one that's well worth it. But I have a hard time being cooped up inside. And funny enough, I was having a super hard day. I could see out our window they were bringing in all the pears and sorting everything off to ship, and man, I was just feeling sorry for myself. And a friend of mine, she'd sent me this poem titled The Kitchen Window Cowboy, and everything in that just hit home, you know. And so I got a hold of the author of that, Miss Jan Wood from South Dakota, and we're quite good friends now. But she said, you know, you ought to go ahead and make a song out of that. And so that's kind of where that came about. But I'm definitely somebody that likes to work outside, and I don't mind working hard. I'd way rather do that than laundry and dishes any day.
I would agree with that. But and I imagine there are a lot of ladies that are out there listening that would have to agree with that as well. But so how do you balance life between the ranching and the family? And we're going to talk about the career and how that got started and some influences, but how do you balance all that out? Obviously, you have a really good husband.
I have an amazing husband, and you just hit the nail on the head. I could not do it without him, and we kind of make up a team. So he helps me do what needs to be done, and I help him do what needs to be done. And like right now, we're just, you know, you just balance. You're always balancing and juggling your daily duties, and somehow they all get done. I don't know how. You just work hard and keep your nose to the grind.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, again, we want to try to play quite a bit of your music. This song that we're going to do right now is one called Rides for the Brand. And I almost think you wrote this about your husband, but now you correct me on that. What's the story behind this song?
Well, he's always asking who this guy is that I write these songs about, because he'd sure like to meet him someday. But you are right. This song's about my husband, and I'll tell you how this song came to be. We were working on the Deseret feedlot in Alberta, Utah, and he, you know, of course, anytime you work in the agriculture business, you're never on a set time frame. So he came home and he told me, he says, I just have to ship a few more cows, and I want you to get dressed up. We're going to go on a date. So I thought, well, this is great. And I found me a babysitter and got cleaned up, which is a big deal. And he didn't show up. Hours went by, and I was just mad as could be. And as I cooled down a little bit, you know, I started to think about how lucky I was to be married to somebody that did ride for the brand. because those qualities are definitely something that are hard to find and needs to be appreciated. So that's what that song's about. It's about my husband and also all those other men. I'm sure you're one of them, Gary, that rides for the brand.
All right, well, let's listen to that, and you'll find out a little bit more about Trinity's husband when you hear this song. We're talking with Trinity Seeley on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Talking with Trinity Seeley, and that's Rides for the Brand. And Trinity, we want to talk about your music. How did you get started?
Well, you know, it started when I was pretty young. Up there in British Columbia, we had a little family band. My dad played the bass and my mom the guitar and all us girls sang. So that's originally where it took off. But it seemed like once I picked the guitar up and figured out, you know, that I had a lot of stories that I wanted to tell, and as a middle child, I didn't express myself very well, so it was always a lot easier for me to write it down and sing about it. So, you know, I had quite a collection of songs just from the life that I'd lived, and back in 2011, not very long ago, I got a hold of a good friend of ours, Brent Hill, and I told him, I said, Bryn, you know, I've got all these songs, and I really don't know what to do with them or if I should even do anything with them. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I get a lot of CDs, but he says, you send me a few, and I'll listen and give you an honest opinion. So I did that, and he called me back, and he said, you know, I think people might want to hear what you have to say. So he was extremely instrumental in the production of that first CD and kind of getting me off on my feet, and it's just been a fun ride since then. It's amazing how many wonderful supportive people there are in this industry, not just the industry, but, you know, the people I get to play for most of the time have something to do with agriculture or horses or, you know, you name it. They're just good, down-to-earth people. So it's, you know, it's been a great adventure. But that's kind of how things got started there with the music. Bryn was very instrumental in that.
Well, Bryn is just a great young guy, and we've been privileged to have him on the show two or three times. And just think the world of Bryn and his family. Selena is just a sweetheart as well. But here's a song we want to do that's called Chilcotin. Did I pronounce that right?
Chilcotin.
Chilcotin. Chilcotin, California. And I told you, I'm from the South. If it's not Smith or Jones, I have a hard time with it. But this is a great song, and I believe Bryn is on this song with you, isn't he?
He sure is, yes. He helped me co-write that last little bit of the song, and we had fun recording this together.
Well, he probably wrote that part in just for himself, but Bryn's a pretty smart guy. But anyway, let's take a listen to this and then come back and talk some more with Trinity Seeley. Your first CD, that's the self-titled CD, Trinity Seeley?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we're going to encourage people to pick up your music, and let's take just a minute right now, Trinity, and tell folks where they can buy your music.
Well, good deal. I do have a website. It's trinityseeley.com. You can go on there, and there's a little store page on there, and you can order what you like and request a signature if you want that. And it's also available on iTunes and CD Baby, Amazon, some of those downloadable sites there. That's probably the best way to find it, though, is just go on the website and to that store page.
Well, we're going to encourage people to do that. So pick up some of Trinity's music there at trinityseeley.com. and some great photographs there. You can find out where she's touring. And where are you going to be next?
Well, let's see. It's November. I'll be in Casper, Wyoming in a couple weeks for their Wyoming Women in Ag Symposium. Definitely an event that that hits very close to home. And, you know, I feel blessed to be able to be a part of those kinds of events, just like this weekend here in Amarillo. You know, we kind of all have the same goal, and that's to preserve, perpetuate, and promote the cowboy ranch wife way of life.
So yeah. It's
a pretty good
deal.
Well,
that's a big event there, and we're gonna have to have some folks on to talk about the Working Ranch Horse Competition. I think that's going to be a fun topic for us to talk about one day. And are you going to be at in Albuquerque, I think, next week?
Next week, that's right. Yep, they have their annual convention there in Albuquerque for the Western Music Association. Kind of a great big reunion, and everybody likes each other, so it's a good place to be.
I got it. Well, I'm going to make it to that one of these days, so look forward to finding out the results of that. You're nominated for Song of the Year with a cowboy hat, and then for the Crescendo Award. So good luck to you on that. And you know, you're just
Thank
a joy
you.
To talk with. Want to have you back on the show again if this hasn't been too painful.
No, this has been a blast, and I sure appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Well, thank you. So we look forward to talking with you again, and we're going to close this segment of the show out with Trinity Seeley's Cricket Roll. And Trinity, thanks again. Say hi to our friends out there in Amarillo while you're there, and we look forward to talking with you again very soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Mark Bolander, and he's going to tell us all we ever wanted to know about mountain trail competition.
From the rolling of green pastures to where the sagebrush meets the pine, we'll do our bidding to land we'll leave behind. Welcome in the highlands and the summer days so long. Little piece of heaven sitting on the cowboy's throne, looking for the solace in my soul. Smile as I listen to my pony's cricket roll. From the misty haze of twilight, when the night horse rings a bell, roll it up, saddle up, and hit that loving trail. Ride off towards the mountains and the snow-capped covered peaks, hoping that beyond the pass you're waiting there for me to put an end to this long and lonely. Smile as I listen to my pony's cricket roll. From the deserts of Nevada to the streams in Idaho, paradise, these trails all lead you home. And I'm through with days of wandering, so I'm coming home today. The only view I need is looking through the ears of that old bay, waiting for the solace in my soul. Smile as I listen to my pony's cricket roll. My pony's cricket roll.
Mark Bolander of Bolander Horse Park is the man that has written the book on Mountain Trail. And Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good to have you. What part of the country are you in today?
I'm in Eugene, Oregon at the National Mountain Trail Challenge Show, and I just walked out of a class.
Oh, wow.
So I'm on a horse. I'm on a horse having fun.
All right. All right. Well, it's great to have you with us on the show today. And we've got a lot of folks that are really interested in learning about mountain trail. And I know that this is a sport that's just taking off all across the country and internationally as well. But to us just a little bit about what mountain trail is and how you got involved in it.
I got involved in it in 2006. I used to show all around AQHA, and I first came down here to the National Mountain Trail Show, and I got hooked. I saw the beauty of the discipline for horses and for people. At that time, it had just started out to be a show, one right here in Eugene, Oregon. It had grown. At that time, it was between 500 and 600 horses. It's a little smaller since then. But what we see across the nation, and especially in Europe, there's something very similar, a lot of little shows and stuff popping up. But Mountain Trail, IMTCA, the discipline that we started, IMTCA, it epitomizes the perfect mountain trail horse that can dress any obstacle boldly and confidently with as much finesse as you'll see a quarter horse trail horse or a dressage horse at a show.
Wow. Wow. Well, you
and
know,
like
you,
this show here, there's logs, there's rocks, there's swinging bridges. I just walked up a stream going up into a waterfall. There was a pond up on top. You can look on the website and see the pictures from Oregon Horse Center. It's truly amazing. It's a huge, there's two arenas built inside of an arena for the show.
Well, someone that knew that you were going to be on the show this week posted on my Facebook page, I guess some kind of a commercial that the Oregon Horse Center had done about the mountain trail, and it's just absolutely amazing to see what's been done inside to simulate these course, these mountain trails. But how did you get involved in horses? That's kind of an interesting story to me.
18 years ago, my daughter said, "Daddy, can I have a horse?" So we got her a horse, and I ended up getting the horse. And I quickly got fascinated on the mind game, on how to think. And there's been very little written, actually, how a horse thinks. And you go into detail. And as my journey developed and grew for the past 18 years, we've made a huge study of how instinct fits in through this whole program. To give you an idea, I have a photograph at home. It shows a horse walking across a 7-inch balance beam, and it had to hop up there, and it's truly a breathtaking photograph I use at a number of speaking engagements. And what's really amazing about that photograph, that horse is blindfolded, and then no one's touching that horse. And that took me back on a road of research. Yeah, it took me back on a road of research over 6,000 years back. And I found out we have forgotten so much. It's very humbling of what we don't know. And so my journey, I have given many hobbies, and now it's horses 24/7, 365 days a year. And we've been traveling the globe building the new discipline. But the mind of the horse is truly fascinating, and we can show over and over the mind of the horse with instinct involved. It's a different type of intelligence than what you and I have, but instinct is a big fancy scientific word to say to explain that which we can't explain, nor can we humanly duplicate the intelligence, but we can't deny it, for we can see it in the world around us. And I find that fascinating, and we've learned to incorporate the instinct of the horse into our training program, and it's truly phenomenal and very humbling results.
Well, talk to us a little bit about your training program.
Well, first of all, we enter into their world. And for the most part, when we train, we bring the horse into the human world. And the horse's world is very, very different from our world. To give you an example, if I turn 25 horses loose together in an arena, I instantly have disorder, do I not? And there's a lot of kicking and biting and squealing. And at the end of the day, you will notice there's a lot of hair missing. But at the end of the day, out of disorder comes order. We call it the pecking order. And
right.
Once the pecking order is established, 97, 98% of the time, an alpha mare will be chosen to lead the herd. And when that alpha mare is chosen to lead the herd, there are several instinctual things that take place almost simultaneously. Number one, that alpha mare will die trying to protect the herd. And we've watched it at home. We watched our alpha mare in a back 5-acre paddock chasing a cougar out of the pasture, out of the paddock.
Wow.
And you know what? All the horses were right behind her. Go, lady, go. And
wow.
The second instinctual response is those horses in turn will now follow her, and they'll even follow her to their death. The third instinctive response that we see happen is the horses try to please those they see above. For instance, if horse number 5 in the herd wants to eat horse number 6's hay, horse number 6 will move. And horse number 7 will move, or 6 will move number 7 then. It just goes down the line.
Right.
But instinct seems to block the horse from listening or learning to anything they see below them. And the fourth thing that we train under is we call it instinct itself. And instinct is not right or wrong, good or bad. It just is. But it's a different type of intelligence than what you and I have. It's one that we can't duplicate. And instinct is one that chooses, the instinct of the herd chooses the alpha mare. It's a combination of her earning the spot and the instinct of the herd choosing her. Now, ironically enough, if the instinct of the herd doubts her worthiness of leadership, they will turn and kill her. And you could, if you take that horse out of the pasture, if, you know, it's a dangerous situation, you can never put her back in the herd again, which is bizarre. But it's a beautiful instinctual response to ensure their survival in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like an alpha mare. If you have a noisy horse in the herd in the wild, a strong alpha mare will go after that horse and discipline it till it's quiet. Now, that horse will refuse to be quiet. The alpha mare will kill it. That sounds brutal, but a noisy horse in the herd attracts predators, and so the herd dies. And so her whole instinct is, at any cost, protect the health of the herd. And we're finding out in our training program, this is not about the respect of the horse. It's a piece of the puzzle. It's not about authority. It's a piece of the puzzle. It's not about who's boss. It's a piece of the puzzle. The instinct of the horse will determine, based upon a game of nuances and small subtleties, whether you're worthy of a leadership role. If you are, the vast majority of all your pressure and release will be gone. We use no sticks or strings anymore. We show people, one of the first things that we show people is when they have their horse on the ground, we show them how to back up their horse without ever looking at the horse. And it's, we simulate what they naturally do in the herd. We also show how you can move the hips by looking them right in the eye. You think it. It's called focus. It's called tapping in to the instinct of the horse, which is truly phenomenal. And that's a little bit on our program. When a horse comes in for training, I don't care what make or model or age or size or shape or discipline, 95 to 98% of all of our physical touching of that horse or discipline will take place in the first 15 minutes that horse ever walks on our farm. After that, it's all over. And trust me, we had over 1,400 horses there last year, and we had
them
from 18-2 Grand Prix show jumpers to little minis. So we understand the disposition. But we find instinct is universal across the globe, whether we're in Europe or Asia or the United States. We find the intelligence of the horse is all over the board, just like people. Some are dumber than stumps, and some are brilliant.
Right.
And learned behavior is where instinct and intelligence of the horse meet, which is really fascinating to me.
Well, that is fascinating, and a bit of a different concept, I think, than a lot of people have. So
you know what? But it passes the common sense litmus test. Everything I tell people, and we'll be back at Equine Affair next weekend. And that's the oldest and the largest horse expo in the world. We'll be back there, and we will be sharing this philosophy with the crowds. And every place we're going, people see it is common sense. They've seen it. I tell people, I will show you, I will tell you nothing that you don't know, nothing that you have not seen. You have just not opened your eyes and connected the dots. To give you an example, if we want a horse to learn to walk across the balance beam, which on average, or let's say the swinging bridge, I know it will take me, on the average, regardless of make or model or size or shape or disposition or age of the horse, it will take me an average of 10 minutes to teach that horse to walk across the swinging bridge.
Wow.
I know that 50% of those horses in that 10 minutes will be doing a 180 on the swinging bridge.
Wow.
But you have
wow.
to believe in the horse. But I do know that the first thing, when I ask a horse to step onto the swinging bridge, I know the first thing they will do on the swinging bridge, on the balance beam, on the teeter-totter, the first thing, or water box, they will step into your space. They all
right.
do it. It's an instinctual response, because if you move, guess what? Automatically, the instinct of the horse says, this person is below me. Then you will have to get a bigger string, more pressure, more release, or go into training, what we call by pain management, before that horse is willing to do what you ask you. Because it's a very simple reason. In their world, a horse above does not move for a horse below. And if you move for the horse when it steps into your space, you automatically tell that horse instinctively, that horse is below me. And they do not learn from those they see below. Does that make sense?
It makes
sense.
And
so you automatically know that horse is going to step into your space, so you automatically step into it, give it a sharp spank on the shoulder, naughty, naughty, spank, spank, and the horse then says, okay, this is above me. I need to concentrate on doing what they're asking me to do. And we can show it over the globe, over and over and over. It's that simple. We try to complicate this horse training, but we need to be more humble, and we need to step into their world, train them under their rules, not ours.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and no
mm-hmm.
no gray. They hate gray. It's black and white, in and out. And it's amazing the results that you see.
Well, that is extremely interesting. And we want to talk a little bit more about that, and we want to talk more about Bolander Horse Park in just a minute. But let me ask you this, okay. Mark. Have you done your Christmas shopping yet?
Are you kidding? No, I have not done my Christmas shopping, but I think I'm going to do a little bit back at Equine Affair here next weekend. And then
all
after
right.
that, we're home for a month.
All right. Well, we want to tell folks about the Christmas shop that's located on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And we have great merchants and vendors that you can find in the Christmas shop on our website. So visit equestrianlegacy.net. You can shop right online and connect with a multitude of vendors, everything from music to saddles, in the Christmas shop on equestrianlegacy.net. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk more with Mark about his training technique, but we want to talk about Bolander Horse Park and what you can find there. So we'll be talking with Mark Bolander, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Times they were what got me through, but hardship and heartache got to me, made me doubt all that I knew. Then I spent my life dragging a shadow, wasted youth chasing a light. Finally came back to what I needed most, and everything's clear when I rise. You allow me to sit on your back. When I let go and let you be a horse, you give me the courage I lack. It's a partnership old as the ages, ever changing who teaches who. There have been some horsemen who've helped me, but the teacher I've learned from is you. We dance to the heartbeat of hoofbeats in a harmony without a sound, with the reins in my hands there is freedom to fly. Without speaking, you comfort my soul and quiet the storm in my mind. Who needs the rest of the world when I'm riding, I let it go by. While we dance to the heartbeat of hoofbeats,
Fisher's Fly, and we're talking with Mark Bolander, and that song kind of ties into the training that we were talking about with Mark just before that break. But Mark, let's talk a little bit right now about Bolander Horse Park, and tell us what that's about, and about your operation and your training and your clinics there.
So Bolander Horse Park is a place where people literally come from all over the world. Last year we had people there from Austria, Australia, Colombia, South America, Germany, Italy. They come literally from the globe and all across America. We have places they can stay, and we have horses, a few horses that they can use. We have also RV hookups. The first permanent outdoor mountain trail course in the world. It has evolved. There's drops into water, there's swinging bridges, there's tall trestle bridges, there's bridges you can ride under, there's bridges over water, there's 33-foot bridge without any sides on it over water, there's short bridges over water, there's concrete ponds, there's places you can lope through water, trot through water. We also held 6 shows there this year. Next year we're going to hold 2 or 3 day shows, just that way people can come further, because if they're driving from halfway across America for the show, they want to stay for a 2 or 3 day show. They don't want to stay for just 1 day.
Right.
We always have horses in training. We always have interns from around the globe helping us. Right now we have a wonderful intern from New Jersey and one from Oregon State. And we have another intern coming from Germany, her third time over for level 3 from Germany here in December. We've had a great intern from Colombia, South America. He was a veterinarian and a great rider. And after vet school, he said, I'm going to take 6 months and go learn mountain trail. So we'll be doing more down in South America. So it's a place that attracts people from all over the globe. And one thing, you can see it on the website. One thing I love pretty. I love neat and clean, and I love green grass. And
right.
So that's one thing that you can expect to come. And then we have, apartments and bedrooms and stuff you can stay on site. We also have a great room where people can sit and cook and watch TV and sit around the fireplace. It's kind of Western pizzazz, I call it. It's just a wonderful, warm place, and my wife, Lee, just makes everyone feel welcome. And we have a lot of good time, and we enjoy a glass of wine, and we just a lot of fun fellowship, and that's what we do. We're trying to promote good horsemanship and fun. And if you're not having fun, I don't think you should be on the back of a horse. So that's basically what Bolander Horse Park entails.
Well, that's and I want to encourage people to go visit the website. That's bolanderhorsepark.com. And visit their website and also the Facebook page, and you can like that page as well. But Mark, let's talk, and I want to talk about the International Mountain Trail Challenge Association in just a minute. But before we do that, let's talk just a little bit about the mountain trail competition and what people are doing and how can people get involved in doing that and how is it judged?
Well, we are building courses across the nation and over in Europe as fast as we can. And for every course I'm building, there's probably 10 other courses being built. Ours we call functional art. The people come. There's classes in the International Mountain Trail. We have a novice division. Then we have levels 1, 2, and 3. And then we have the open division. And so depending on your level of skill and how long you've been into it, depends on what level you will go in. You can only show in 2 levels. You cannot show in all the levels. You can only show in level 1 and 2, and then, I guess, novice, and level 2 and 3, and then open. That's
right.
And then we're starting to keep track of the score. So it's when you get so many points, you're out of novice. When you get so many points, you're out of level 1. When you get so many points, you're out of level 2, and then you can only show in level 3 and then in open. So you can only show in 2 classes at once, novice, level 1 or level 2, and then level 2, level 3, and then finally level 3 and open. And
okay.
That's how it's set up now.
All right. And so the courses would involve all of these different things that you've described, the bridges, the water, the logs, the...
Your pattern, if you look in Bullinger Horse Park, you can see the patterns. We always put them up like 2 weeks beforehand. The patterns will always have at least 8 obstacles, no more than 16. Now, the open class, it may have 20-some. It will have the whole course because everyone sits and watches the horse go. Level 1, novice and level 1, everything happens at a walk. On level 2, then there will be trotting between obstacles. In level 3, there'll be loping. For instance, they'll be loping through water. And so the difficulty as you add speed is greatly magnified. We can all get a horse to go fast, just get on some electric spurs. But to get that horse to immediately come down and think its way through a very difficult obstacle, that's much more difficult. And that's a lot of fun. Now, we have what we call a timed and judged class. And last Friday, I did the timed and judged class, and then I have the timed and judged class tonight. The timed and judged class last Friday, we put that video on our Facebook page. It's already had like 22,000 views on just that one area, and that's been shared all across the globe. And you can see my horse, and I run that bridleless. I ran that bridleless. You can see a horse going 9-0, but then he comes right down to walk through, let's say, the rock obstacles or side pass a log. And that's much more difficult than just walking up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so anytime you add speed, the difficulty is magnified.
Okay. All right. Well, let's encourage folks to visit the Facebook page and check out that video, and maybe you'll get that thing up to 44,000 pretty quickly. So that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, we would like that. We would like 100-some thousand, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, talk to us a little bit about the International Mountain Trail Challenge Association. What is it, and how can people get involved?
Well, the International Mountain Trail Challenge is a result of there's many little shows that are doing something, you know, obstacles, rocks and logs, hills and ponds, etc. But it's what I call a fragmented type industry. Everyone's kind of doing their own thing. The International Mountain Trail Challenge Association has standardized all the judging rules. They're all in writing, and it sets the standard. All the judges have been to judging school. We just certified 25 new judges in Italy. There were 31 in the class. Only 25 made the cut, but they all gave it their best shot. So whether you go here, Italy, or anyplace else, we want your judging to be the same, just like it is in Reining or the AQHA. We want a universal judging, so it's not a mystery. Well, what do they want at this show? We want the same thing across the board, and I think that will help grow the whole discipline. And then by having certified judges and a standard, that will ensure longevity. And there's a lot of things that have come and gone. And the big weakness in almost all of them is they don't have a standard as far as judging goes. And so that is what the very first thing. We worked on the judging. We have used it now for 4 years in the shows. We have modified it. We have refined it. We have done many things over and over. So it's pretty solid right now. The judging, the people love it. It's easy to understand, and it's for the recreational rider and for about everyone you can imagine.
Well, that's great. So people of all abilities and all ages can get involved in mountain trail competition.
Yes. Yes, and we also then will be issuing licenses, like the NRHA does, a license to compete on a horse.
Okay, all right, so very good. So how can people get involved in the International Mountain Trail Challenge Association?
They can just go to IMTCA.org or International Mountain Trail, but IMTCA.org. It's also on Facebook. IMTCA.org, it has registration papers where you can sign up, and then you'll get the official rule book mailed to you. We already have, the membership is going fantastic, and we even have life members already have signed up. And the biggest reason the life members are signing up, they say, finally, some organization got all the rules in writing with certified judges. So we started from the bottom up. We started with a very firm foundation of judging and criteria, and that's really exciting to us. Whether it's a recreational rider or the Olympic rider, everyone wants to know how they can better their score. This way, they have a standard.
Well, that is exciting, so we'll encourage people to visit IMTCA.org and, again, visit the Facebook page for that. And, Mark, I appreciate so much you taking the time to be with us on the show today, because I know you're up there in Oregon competing, and I believe I heard a mule saying an amen to some of your statements just a minute ago. So
yeah,
I appreciate you doing
There's a lot of mules here. There's
a lot of mules.
Mules are a lot of fun in this discipline.
Well, it is. It's a great sport, and people that are not familiar with it need to check it out, because I think you'll want to get involved. So, Mark, thanks so much. Tell Lehigh for us as well.
I will. Okay, and then we will be off to the road here next year. We've got a bunch of new trail courses to build. We've finished up a bunch this year, but it's a great organization. Thank you so much, Gary.
Well, thank you. And by the way, you said you're going to be in, I believe you'll be in Massachusetts at the Equine Affair next week?
Yes, we're one of the presenters, one of the clinicians for Equine Affair for their 50th anniversary.
All right, so we want to encourage folks to get out there and visit Mark and say hi and sit in on one of his clinics as well. Mark, thanks again. Appreciate you very much, my friend.
Thank you so much, Gary. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right. Well, we've enjoyed talking with Trinity Seeley today, and Trinity was out in Amarillo, Texas, at the World Ranch Horse Competition there, and Mark is out in Oregon at the National Championships for the Mountain Trail Competition there. So appreciated very much both of these folks taking the time to join us on our show and share with us today. We want to mention to you that this portion of our show has been made possible by Equestrian Legacy Radio's Legacy Club sponsors. Legacy Club membership is free, and members receive special offers and discounts that are available only to Legacy Club members. You're automatically entered in our weekly, monthly, and year-end drawings for great gifts from our Legacy Club sponsors. And our monthly drawing for the month of November is being sponsored by Elkins Creek Horse Campground and Tack Shop. And then we're not too far off from our year-end drawing for the grand prize, and that's sponsored by HydraHorse.com. And our year-end drawing will be for a tremendous two-horse portable watering system that you can put right in your trailer. You can take that with you on the road so you have water for your horses and the same water that they're used to at home when you get to the campground. So visit the website, equestrianlegacy.net, enroll in the Legacy Club, and that membership is free. And it's our thank you for our listeners and to our friends that tune in to Equestrian Legacy Radio. We hope you've enjoyed the show today. We want to remind you that on Sunday, tune in at 9 o'clock Central Time for Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. Her guest will be Mary Kay, and that's a great hour of inspirational music and great conversation with some of Western music's Top Stars. And that's at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. Then on Tuesday at noon Central Time, it's Saddle Up America. And so we will be visiting with Robert Eversole this next week and visit another great horse destination on that show, and that's Tuesday at noon. And then back here next Thursday on the Campfire Cafe. We thank you for listening, and we remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. Thanks for listening.
Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.